Hey everyone, I'm Mel Chang and welcome to the She Dares podcast. She Dares is all about inspiring each other through our stories, telling each other how we broke out of our comfort zones, had pivotal moments in our lives. And today we've got a very good friend of mine. Her name is Megan Taylor. She is a semi-professional runner. She has a full-time job in forensic speech science. But as a full-time runner, she's taking part in a lot of competitions every year. This year, recently, she just placed an amazing 26 out of 23,000 women at the Great North Run. And today she talks to us a little bit about how she started running. She goes into body image and also how much she's not willing to give up to take it to the next level. Okay, she's in the waiting room, so let's get her on the show. Hey Megan, how are you doing? Nice to see you.
It's good to see you too. It's been a while.
Thanks for coming on the show, and you know what She Dares is all about. It's all about breaking out of your comfort zones and sharing and inspiring other women out there through your stories. I know you have a great passion of yours, and I wanted to know if there was like a pivotal moment in your life that you wanted to share with the listeners.
Yeah, I think when it comes to running, which is what I'm my passion, that time was probably when I decided to go traveling to South America after university. I studied Spanish and wanted to put it to good use, so I flew myself out there for 5 months, didn't really know what I was doing, cried all the way there on the flight, and spent the first night in hotel being like, oh my god, what have I done. Anyway, it ended up being like the best 5 months ever. Met loads of people, but in doing a lot of socialising, I also like ate and drank my way through several countries. Managed to put on a stone in weight, which for me is quite a lot because I'm quite small. And I was like, okay, I need to sort this out. So I'm going to sign up to a marathon for when I get back.
Just something small.
Yeah, just a little, dip my toes in the water. And when I got back, I was like, actually, I don't really know how to do this. I had done a bit of running before, but a marathon is kind of, different league. So I signed up to my local running club, which was Lewis in East Sussex, and went along to some of their sessions, and then it kind of just expanded from there.
I mean, signing up to a marathon, was that something that you just decided, or was it like because some friends had mentioned it, or the people that you met, or like why the marathon?
It's a good question. I'd done a half marathon before I left. And on doing that half marathon, I was like, oh my god, how do people do twice that distance? That's insane. I'll never do that. And then something happens in your head and you're like, it just changes and you decide to do it for some unknown reason.
You said you put on a stone in weight. And was that the pivotal moment for you when you decided to do the marathon?
Yeah, I think I've always been like quite a petite person, and it's quite... it's something that's always on my mind. Like, I look at other people a lot and I find I get into a hole of like comparing myself to them. So, well, I guess it was mostly I wanted to get back in shape, but I also knew that I enjoyed running, so it was a good way to combine the two. And sort of over the years, I've made the conscious effort to be happy with my body for what it can do rather than what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So I'll always be like really proud of my legs if they managed to get me around a course in a good time.
How do you think your relationship has changed with like your body image now?
I recently looked at a photo came up of me from like before I started running that I put alongside a photo of me since I've been running, and I was like really shocked by the difference. But when I spoke to other people, they were like, literally, I don't really see any difference at all. So I've kind of learned along the way that a lot of it is in my head, but there's a lot of, especially elite runners who have quite an unhealthy relationship with food, because it's kind of like the old thing of the lighter you are, the quicker you're going to run. But I really like food, so for me, that's not really something I'm willing to give up. And it's also, I've just learned like how to fuel my body correctly and try to think like the way that I look is just an outcome of that rather than being the main focus.
Once you did that marathon and you signed up to the running club, what did that look like? I mean, I have no idea because I'm not part of a running club. I do some running occasionally when I feel like it, but
for me it was a couple of social runs a week. We used to go out around our local town or up onto the South Downs, which are like some foothills in south of in Sussex. And then it would be a track session every week where you do intervals in like smaller groups. And it was there that because I started off like one of the slowest runners in the club. But as the weeks went on, my coach now kind of spotted me and asked if I wanted to join his group. So I got a bit more like one-to-one training advice. This was in 2014, I think, and he still sets me weekly or monthly training plans, which sometimes I do, sometimes I get told off because I don't do. Yeah, I owe a lot of thanks to my coach, Dave Leach, and our group, DLPG Running, for inspiring me and pushing me all the time.
Obviously, you're up there with the elites. So given that you've just done the Great North Run, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you placed pretty high, well, very high. You're a professional runner, though you have a full-time job as well. And so what's next for you now?
It's interesting because a lot of, like, summer running is your genes. That's fine. But most of it is how much you're willing to put into it. And that's kind of something that takes a long time to discover, really. So like a really good time for me was in lockdown, when all we were allowed to do was go out to exercise. And for me, I didn't have a lot of work to do at the beginning. So my like sole purpose of the day was to get a good running session in. And it was during that time where I didn't have the like daily commute and things affecting your energy levels that I really discovered, oh, actually, I can be better than what I thought I could be. So that was kind of when I started pushing it a bit more. My dream would be to be like a mountain ultra runner, but that was one of those things that like I have no idea how I would rank at the moment. That's a future dream.
You talked about you're not sure where you would rank like now. Is ranking important to you?
Kind of. I mean, I'm never going to be like one of the best. That's absolutely fine, because I'm not willing to you know, give up on certain luxuries in life that you can't do. If, like, as you know, I like to go snowboarding and maybe a bit of downhill biking and stuff, and those are kind of like high injury risk activities, as you well know.
Yeah.
So I think to like really go for a running career, you have to sacrifice those kind of extra things. So for me, it's kind of like getting as good as I can, but without changing my life too much. And if I happen to do well, then that's just an added bonus. But it's just about enjoyment for me more than anything else.
It's super interesting because, you know, you see a lot of professional athletes, it's all encompassing. Like their whole life is about that. And it's really nice to know that you're very clear about the things that you really like and you don't want to give up. But it's also great that you are actually, like, you have made it up there with the elites. I mean, that is like one of the most famous runs, or the most famous run, I guess, of the calendar year.
Yeah, and that was it was a really cool opportunity. And I would say, you know, I'm still coming up to like 15, 20 minutes slower than the top women. So it's still like a huge jump from my level to their level. But it's really great to know what just like the opportunity to run next to them, or to start next to them at least, was like really, yeah, really awesome.
So obviously getting to where you've got to, placing really high in that Great North Run and the amount of races that you do, obviously there's a part of you that has had to give up certain things, I would assume. Okay, you're not willing to give up, you know, the food and some other bits, but how much dedication do you need to get where you are now?
It's tough sometimes, especially in winter when it's dark before work, it's dark after work, and sometimes you really just don't fancy it. But I kind of tell myself that it's just part of the daily routine. It's not an option. But sometimes it means giving up social activities. I try not to drink too much in the days leading up to a race. And it's going to take, you know, a few hours out of your week. And this is something I've been doing for coming up to 10 years now, running 5 days a week for that long. It definitely takes up a good chunk of your time. and I have to like thank my other half for putting up with me when I say I'm popping out for an hour and come back like 3 hours later.
Yeah, I mean, because the distances that you do, you know, it's not like popping out for 20 minutes having like a 3-4-5k run or something. It's like, you know, to get to your level, it is like 3 hours.
Yeah, some days are generally dedicated to a long run, and sometimes I do request that when we go on holiday it's somewhere I can easily get somewhere that's nice to run. Yeah, holiday for me is like running somewhere new.
So is that like a prerequisite before you're booking somewhere? Do you scope out before you go?
Yeah, a little bit. Particularly when we've been away to the Alps in France, and I was making sure that, yeah, there was suitable trail running available. That was our honeymoon.
I mean, if you know what you need, then, you know, that's a good thing. I was reading James Clear, Atomic Habits, trying to get something that I can do like every single day so that it becomes this habit, and it should be around self-care and fitness. How did you get to the point where you're like, okay, 5 days a week I'm running? Because it tends to happen, and I'm sure a lot of people will resonate, that you go a full week, then the weekend comes and you have like a big party weekend or something, then the next week is like, I'll start again next week.
So I think the mistake a lot of people make is that they go too much too soon. Running is like a real patience game. And so I didn't start doing 5 days a week. I started doing 2 days a week for a long time. And then you gradually build it up. And over that time, you learn what works for you and what doesn't. So I had a year of doing 6 runs a week and then decided that I wasn't actually getting any benefit from that extra day. So I replaced it with a bike ride or something, some Pilates or something else. It shouldn't be like a punishment. I think you have to enjoy whatever exercise you want to do, and then it just kind of comes naturally, I suppose.
So obviously you mentioned, you know, you kind of started running primarily, you know, because of body image. You put on a bit of weight, it was like a healthy thing to do. Have you noticed anything else kind of developing, any other benefits or reasons why you wanted to continue running like you have?
For sure. I think I kind of discovered that I'm a different person when I'm running. In like normal everyday life and work life, I'm really nervous about a lot of things, like particularly doing podcasts, that kind of thing. but when I run, it's just like none of that nervousness is there. So it's kind of empowering, I guess. It just gives me a lot of confidence.
That's good. And you're doing great, by the way. You don't need to be nervous. It's all good. I totally understand. I've done this now 7 times and still I'm like, I don't know what question to ask.
Oh, I was going to say, actually, carrying on from that, there was like a sort of a bit of a movement recently. People started talking about the fact that when women go running, particularly on their own, they get a lot of unwanted attention, let's say, quite often. And there's a push to make people aware that that's not okay. It can be intimidating. So I had to change things in my training. Like when I lived in London, I wouldn't go out in the evenings when it was dark because it just made me feel uncomfortable. Or there might be like, it might be a really hot day and I just want to wear shorts and a sports bra, but you just don't because of the comments that you get sometimes or the looks you get.
That's super tough, because actually why should you have to think about, you know, what time of day you're going to go running, yeah, what clothes you're wearing.
Yeah, and I think people weren't aware of that other people were feeling the same thing. So it's been really interesting seeing on social media and stuff, people coming together and saying, actually, like, we all experience this and it's not okay.
What's the movement called?
There was one called Reclaim Your Run.
I'll definitely look it up.
Mm.
Are there any tips that you would give to someone who is looking to start running or is kind of trying to get healthier?
So I think I'm a bit of a tough love kind of person. My advice is always like, when you start running, people say, I can't do it, it hurts, or, you know, things like that. Unless something really is hurting,
my knees,
and it's injured, then you can keep going. So push yourself, but not to the point where you're like doing damage, but just have that confidence to push yourself a bit more each time. And the other thing I'd say is don't compare yourself to others, but just like take inspiration from what others are doing. Don't compare yourself in a negative way, because that never does anyone any good. there's loads of options out there. If you want to go solo, there's things like the Couch to 5K through the NHS. And if you are more of a social person and you need that other people to encourage you, then joining a running club was definitely the best thing that I'd ever done. Just that advice and fun that you get running with other people, the miles will stop ticking by without even noticing. It's a really good way to get into it.
I mean, just a quick note on that. I mean, when you say join a running club, for me, I instantly think I have to be a runner or a good runner to join a running club.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that's not true generally. Well, I don't actually know of anywhere there's like a requirement to get in, but it's worth just having a, like giving someone an email of a club that's near you if you're interested in, say, do you have a beginner's group? And most of them, or pretty much every running club that I've experienced has a beginner's group. And it's just a really fun, friendly place to be, usually.
That's good advice, because honestly, I think it would be quite daunting for me to just reach out and go, yeah, I'm joining a running club, when I know I can't really run and I don't really enjoy running. But it's almost like if you join that, it's just like a community, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
So coming towards the end of the show, you know that everyone gets to give me a dare. Have you thought about one?
Yeah, so as I said, one of my other loves is food. And I don't know if you know, but in the UK, the Bake Off restarted. So I was thinking you could bake a She Dares themed cake.
Huh, good one. I've cooked for you once, I think, right?
Yeah, you did get very nice.
Yeah, I'm not the greatest cook. And the last time I think I baked a banana bread, it completely fell apart. it tasted good. Well, it tasted very sugary, but it completely fell apart. I couldn't slice it. Okay, I will do that. Thanks.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And yeah, congratulations on your results. And Megan, in case people want to reach out, where can they find you online?
So on Instagram, I am Meg_Taylor, and that's Taylor with a zero instead of an O. And then there's also my running group, which is DLPG_running.
All right, then have an amazing afternoon. You did awesome. And thanks a lot. Okay, I found a cake recipe, and it's one of those like multiple layered cakes. With different colours, so it's like a rainbow cake. But I am not sure I want to do that, because She Dares is just like, the colours are like pink, black and kind of whitish. So I'm thinking just like a two-layered cake. One of the first things, I guess, if you're going to bake a cake is you need a cake form tin, and that's something I don't have. Lucky for me, there is a like bakeware store across the street, so I'm going to go over there and see if they have something. Okay, so I have these tins. It's got like a clip on it. I think that's right. It kind of spins around. I guess that's kind of right to let the cake get out when it's done. But there's like this weird lid. I'm not sure if I need that as well. I think looking at the recipe, I need two of these things. But they're quite expensive. And there's this spray, separating spray for baking. Think I need that? I don't know. I mean, last time I baked, my cake fell apart. So maybe it's worth buying this. It's like 10 euro, but I'll get it. I'll risk it. All right. Putting the sugar in. And it said something like, put it on turbo. I remember my mum baking a cake when I was a lot younger, and having this sugary egg mix. Delicious. And this mixture seems really, really thick. It said only with the KitchenAid spin it for like 5 to 10 seconds, but I had to do it for much longer with this hand whisk, so I'm not sure if I fucked it up. Ah, for fuck's sake, I forgot to spray with the separating spray that I just bought for 10 euros across the shop. Probably gonna stick. Okay, it's done. I mean, kudos to all the cake makers out there, because Jesus Christ, this has taken me now 3.5 hours, and honestly, my cake looks like shit. I'm starving, I haven't had my dinner, my cake looks flat, doesn't really look very appetizing, and yeah, I'm intrigued to see what Megan says tomorrow. So I had an idea to put strawberries around the outside, but it didn't work because it was all dry. So I'm just using the leftover chocolate to stick the strawberries on, and I'm using some kind of pastry brush or something that I found. I'm hoping that this works. Oh God, the chocolate's melting a little bit. Not melting. drying up a little bit. I mean, the good thing about baking cakes is you can eat as you go, which is delicious. So I'm walking into the apartment where Megan is. I'm gonna deliver the cake. Going up the stairs. Hello, Megan.
Ta-da! Oh my God. Well, this is your cake.
This is the dare.
Amazing. That is way better than I expected. No offense. Amazing. I'm down.
Thanks. Okay, well, that's a complete disaster. As I said, well, are you going to eat it? Megan was like, is it gluten-free? Because of course she's gluten-free. That's a massive failure. If you want to check out how the dare went down, there's a reel on Instagram for every single one of them. Follow us at _shedares and let me know if you decide to do any of them with me. I'd love to see what you get up to.